Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, we stayed together. We all we got, we all we need.
Getting you ready for today's game.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
He cracked the stripe at the north end of the building for the score.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Running out here. Five receivers in the set. Second and eight. And Carson into the slot. Stays in the block. Wilson, it as he throws deep downfield. It's going to be caught by Metcalf for the touchdown. And he beats the defensive player of the year as well. 54 yards.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, the Week 3 edition on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, Falcons and Bears, coming up at 1 o'clock. Willie P and Hugh Douglas back here with you. 1 hour from right now, the countdown to kickoff show begins with Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas. They will take you all the way up to West Durham and Dave Archer, who will give you the call of Falcons and Bears. Of course, when you think about the Cowboys and Seahawks this week, these will be the two games that, or at least the two teams, rather, who beat us in the first 2 weeks. You heard the highlight from NBC with Russell Wilson against the Patriots. This is a rather intriguing matchup because I feel like we'll find a little bit more out about ourselves by watching this game at 425, Hugh Douglas.
How? You both got beat by both of them, and both of them were, players of the week. Both quarterbacks made player of the week. What you gonna find out?
I'll find out. Let me put you this way. If the Cowboys beat the Seahawks, I'll be more ticked off about the Seattle game. If the Seattle Seahawks beat the Cowboys, then I'll be more ticked off about the Cowboy game.
So you're going to be miserable either way.
I'll have my confirmation bias on the Seahawks, basically.
So you're going to be miserable either way, basically.
Well, of course. Well, hopefully I'm not miserable today because I'm hoping we get a win today.
I'm just saying. You're trying to find some solace in the fact that you got beat by both teams. You had both of them, and this is the unfortunate thing. You can make a case for you had both of them on the ropes. You could have easily won both of those games. Mm. You know, more so the Dallas game, definitely the Dallas game.
More so
than more so than the other one. Come on, man. I mean, it still don't feel good. Don't do yourself like that, Will. Just do yourself a favor, man. Don't do yourself like that. Don't do that to yourself.
Do you think that Russell, this will be the year that he actually gets an MVP? But I don't know.
I think that, you know, when I wake up in the morning and one of the first things that I hear 2 weeks into the season is the MVP talk already going on, I think that he'll make a strong case for it. I really, really do. I mean, you talk about consistency. I think that this is probably the year where, you know, what he's done in the past is going to benefit him tremendously, you know, because he's gotten off to a strong start. And you know, with everything that we've dealt with, you know, personally, as far as COVID is concerned, and for him to come out like that, and you know, you look at all some other people who probably don't look as sharp. Yeah, I think that, yeah, he'll get the nod this year.
Cowboys need to get off to a better start this week than they did against the Falcons. The 29 points that they allowed against the Falcons in week number 2, most they'd allowed in a first half since 2008. So that was a terrible omen for them, but they were able to overcome it and beat us last week. Elsewhere in the NFL for week number 3, statement game on Sunday Night Football, the Saints and the Packers. Do you, I mean, again, we talked about it a little bit last week. The regression of Drew Brees is something that a lot of people are kind of pointing towards. We saw it on Monday Night Football earlier this week when they played the Raiders. Do you think the decline is on, or do you think it was just a bad game from him?
I think it was a bad game. You know what, man? I've been hearing people say Drew Brees was done like 6 years ago when I first got here.
You're right.
I remember that. I remember when I forgot who they were playing, but they were like, oh, yeah, his arm is dead. His arm, da-da-da-da. Drew Brees and like the people pouring dirt on him already because he had one bad game. That's the amazing thing about what we do. A couple weeks ago, when Drew Brees played Tom Brady, they were calling Tom Brady done, and it was a big deal made about the fact that Coach Bruce Arians called him out. Remember that? And right. I was like, wow. Even I was like, wow. Tom Brady's never been called out. Said it was his fault. Then later, come to find out, watching the film, that the first interception wasn't Tom Brady's fault.
Right.
But everybody talked about how he was done. Man, listen, quarterbacks, especially older quarterbacks, they're going to have bad games. They're not going to be the guys that they used to be. They're still effective, though. Drew Brees, I think, is still effective. You know, I think that, you know, he's still going to be, when it's all said and done, they're going to be a part of the playoff picture.
Sure.
So, yeah, the rumors of his demise are greatly exaggerated as far as I'm concerned.
Pulled that one out of there, did you?
Yeah.
That old standby. I like it. It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We're going around the league for week number three. Only one Sunday game matches teams with 2-0 records. The only other game this week that has two undefeated teams in it is the Monday night game, which we'll get to in a moment. Rams-Bills in Buffalo. Buffalo a two-point favorite.
Bills, who's more Mafia. For real?
Who's more for real in your mind?
Rams or the Mafia?
Yeah,
I'm gonna say the Rams because they got Aaron Donald.
Really?
I'm gonna say the Rams. And listen, I like Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott was a quality control guy, and he moved up through the ranks when I was with the Eagles. He was there, so you know, much love for Sean and what he's been able to do with the Bills Mafia and all the other stuff. But I just feel like, you know, the Rams are the better team right now.
I don't know, man. The quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, with all the respect given to Cam Newton, and believe me, nobody has been higher on Cam to the Patriots than me. Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the AFC East right now.
After two games, huh?
Now, granted, look at the rest of the stuff around
him. You know who you sound like right now? John Freaky. John Freaky loves
Don't
that
put
guy.
That evil on me.
No,
now.
Listen, John, like my man John loves me. John loves him. John feels – no, let me take that back. John – I got that wrong. John hates him because he's already predicted from. That Jake Fromm is going to be the starter. I had it wrong. My fault. John Freaky loves Tua Tagovailoa. I'm sorry. Right. I had the wrong quarterback. But you're okay. So you're I had it wrong. So you're right. You're okay.
I mean, 70% completion percentage, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's hard to argue.
Week 2, week 3, we're going
into
week 3.
Now.
No, I got you. I got you. You know, you know, I mean, it's cool. I got you. I have always been of the mindset 4 weeks. I don't care who you are at that position. Give them 4 weeks before you start to evaluate them. Cause in
I'm not
4 weeks,
them.
No, but I'm telling you, in 4 weeks, was it the car kid out there in with the Vegas Raiders?
Yes.
Look how great he looked. 4 weeks, dog. 4 weeks. And then, you know, because we're still dealing with the fact we had no preseason.
You're right.
The offense looked pretty good. You know, and nobody has a book on anybody right now. Get it to 4 weeks, and then it's going to get back to normal. Everybody look good right now. Give it 4 weeks, brother. Give it 4 weeks.
We talked a little bit about one of our division rivals. The other two, Panthers and the Buccaneers, they will play teams that will be starting backup quarterbacks. The Panthers in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium to take on the Chargers, who will start Justin Herbert for the second straight week after Tyrod Taylor continues to be bothered by a punctured lung from the bad shot that he took. Don't laugh. It's not funny.
No, I'm laughing because I was like, John Freaky, like we were talking to John. Shout out to my man, John Freaky. But he was talking about if John was saying that he would sue the doctor.
I would.
For malpractice or whatever. And I'm like, John, well, you can't do that. You probably would be working. But then come to find out, somebody texted me on the Twitter and said that if you read up on the doctor's kind of shady. Oh, he said the doctor has a couple people.
What was the line that Mike Bell said? Someone's got to finish last in medical school.
Yeah. Hey, so the doctor kind of shady, but my question is this. How the hell are you a team doctor if you got shady malpractice lawsuits against you? I mean, how you get to be the team doctor? You must know somebody.
Everybody's got malpractice lawsuits. You collect those like you collect, I don't know.
Is that right?
Pay stubs. Everyone, these people are all ridiculous. Those lawyers are all ridiculous. I mean, all those get thrown out of court.
But you know what, though? I'm going to need to go in here and find out. Like the next, hopefully, I won't have to have surgery no time soon. But next time, I'll be like, how many malpractice
lawsuits do you have? Do your research. I, whenever I go to the doctor, I try to research him and try to
figure
out. Like,
and you hit it with how many malpractice lawsuits did you have?
Well, I went to one. I went to one doctor here recently. I was looking him up, and he was magna cum laude. So, like, you know, I was like, okay, that's.
That's okay for you?
That's fine with me, magna cum laude, because that's something I can see on paper. That's something I can see on paper.
Meanwhile, I didn't know that, though. Everybody has a lawsuit. Okay, gotcha.
Meanwhile, Buccaneers-Broncos, I don't mean to be defamatory. Buccaneers-Broncos, the Broncos will not have Drew Lock in the lineup. Jeff Driscoll will start for the Broncos after Drew Lock got
hurt. Did they get him off the streets? Jeff got the crib chilling?
No, they got Bortles off the streets.
Oh,
who
it was.
They had Driscoll on the roster, and then they called Blake Bortles off the couch to be the backup.
Man, listen, I played the wrong position in school. Probably wouldn't have been drafted as a quarterback, no doubt.
Dude.
Definitely wouldn't have been drafted.
Your boy McCown sitting there in Dallas
at the
on
crib,
the Eagles,
chilling.
At the Eagles practice squad collecting a check.
What, 12 stacks a week? 12 stacks a week.
Collecting a check on his
and
couch,
still
you.
Coaching his coaching, and coaching, still coaching his high school football team.
He's
gotta
collecting a check on his couch. That's what he's doing.
Because
and you
ain't
got to
come here
offense.
Unless we need you. But you know what? With the way that Carson Wentz has been playing lately, he might get that phone
Dude,
call.
I was going to ask you about. I was going to ask you about your old stomping grounds, the Philadelphia Eagles. They got the Bengals this week. I'm not saying they've got 2-0-2 teams, but Vegas isn't exactly giving you all a lot of respect. They're only making you a 4-point favorite at home against Cincinnati, who I think is
got off. Now, talk to me about it, because you get three, right? You get three just for being at home, right?
For being at home.
Yeah, they're you get three.
They're basically saying if that game was in Cincinnati, you'd be an underdog.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I was wondering, I'm like, because, you know, I'm not a better. I'm not a better. And I was like, I think you get three for just being.
You'd be a 2-point dog in Cincinnati.
Yeah, so, man, I mean, there's been a lot of questions about him. And I've seen a lot of old teammates, like especially Ike Reese, who works on the radio up there at WIP, who has been defending Carson because people have been on him. Mm-hmm. Talking about, you know, he looks terrible and he's not that guy and, you know, he stays hurt and all this other stuff. So it's hard to say. It's tough in Philadelphia, man. It's tough. No question about that. And we're going to find out about Carson, if he can handle the pressure or not, because the pressure's on. The pressure is on for him. So we'll see. We shall see. But as far as if he's I think he's a good quarterback. You know, one year he was close to being MVP if he wouldn't have got hurt. He would have been the MVP if he didn't get hurt. But he got hurt. They went to the Super Bowl. And for him, until he leads that team to a Super Bowl, even though he was the guy that put them in position to make it to the Super Bowl, until he leads them to the Super Bowl, there's going to always be questions about Carson Wentz.
8-game window early, including the Falcons and the Bears, which we'll get back into here in just a moment with our keys to victory for Atlanta as they get ready to take on the Bears here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 5 games in the late window, and then, of course, the Sunday night game between the Saints and the Packers. Also, Monday night, Chiefs-Ravens.
Interesting
matchup. Very interesting matchup, which you'll hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game tomorrow night at 8:15. Lamar versus Mahomes. Who gets the better of whom?
Man, I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Kansas City Chiefs. I like him. But, boy, you know, Baltimore Ravens defense don't get the kind of love that they deserve. They're pretty what they call salty.
Yes.
Salty defense. They're pretty
salty. Like those pork rinds you were eating earlier?
Yeah. I don't eat the pork rinds, man. I'm not. Okay. Listen, the one thing I'm not about to do is eat the pork. I can't do the pork rinds. Can't do the pork rinds. Now, I eat the beef jerky. I do the beef jerky, but not the pork rinds. But, yeah, that defense
Ravens,
is pretty salty,
Ravens
man. That's
get a lot
a
of
good
sauce.
Game.
Ravens get a lot of salt. Ravens don't get as much sauce as they deserve. You're right.
Yeah,
they don't get as much juice as they realize.
I'm not a big pork rind fan.
I got you. I don't mind them. Time to time. They're great road snack. They're also a great tailgate snack. Show us what you're tailgating with on Twitter at Willie P Style, at BigHugh53, and at 929 The Game here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. As we count you down to kickoff between the Falcons and the Bears, Hugh and I will give you our final keys to the game to try to get the Falcons on the board with a win to start off 2020 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home of the Falcons, and also on radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Check it out.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekend.
The whole weekend. Radio on the weekend.
The weekend.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend, and neither do we. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back up in the pocket. Throws. Backside. Open. Diving and scoring in the pylon.
Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Third and six for Chicago. Motion man is Cohen. Trubisky looks. Trubisky, a threat to run, flips it to the outside. It is caught by Montgomery. Montgomery makes a move upfield and breaks it to the clear. Touchdown, Bears.
We got to affect the quarterback. It goes back to the identity, and Mr. Trubisky would be no different. We got another guy that can move, another guy that can run, a young up-and-comer, a young guy that's been trying to play well, and we got to go affect the quarterback.
Highlight courtesy of CBS. And that's Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator of our Atlanta Falcons. It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P and Hugh Douglas back with you. Time to give you our keys to a Falcons victory as they get ready to take on the Chicago Bears at 1 o'clock. My first key, Hugh, is to do as best you possibly can to mask the absences of the guys you will not have today. No Caleb McGarry, it looks like. He was questionable. Doesn't look like he necessarily will play. That sprained MCL has been bothering him all week, but he's still questionable. If he can't go, Matt Gunnell has to play about as good as he did last week against Dallas. They were able to mask the absence of McGarry very well. You won't have Ricardo Allen. You won't have Kendall Sheffield. You will not have A.J. Terrell because of the reserve COVID-19 list designation. You need to mask the absences of the key guys you have on the field today. That's the biggest key for me.
I would definitely go with that. Definitely go with that. Mask the guys that you don't have. I would definitely say play better defense. I mean, you know, get after the quarterback. Mitch Trubisky threw two picks last week. He wasn't spectacular as far as his game. He had two touchdowns, but he wasn't a world beater. So make Mitch Trubisky look like Mitch Trubisky supposed to look. Horrible. Mm-hmm. Make them people realize, you know, or bring him back to earth. When he was having second thoughts about or second guessing his ability, you know, make that Mitch Trubisky show up. He was 18 for 28 last week, threw for 190 yards.
You could make the case.
That ain't world beater. That ain't world beaterish.
You can make the case in both of their games, Hugh. They've kind of hung on for dear life. I mean, DeAndre Swift doesn't catch a pass in week one. If he catches that pass, they probably lose that football game because he was walking in for a game-winning touchdown. The game last week. I say, yeah. The game last week.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, I hear you. I hear you, though. I'm just
busting. And last week, if Barkley doesn't get hurt, I don't think the Giants lose the football game either.
And you know what else? If we had picked up that onside kick, we would be 1-1.
I knew that was coming.
Man, I ain't trying to hear all that.
I know.
I ain't trying to hear all that. I mean,
If it's and butts for candy and nuts, I know. Yeah. I'm aware.
Hey, if we'd have got more pressure on Russell Wilson in the first week, man, we'd be undefeated.
All right, that's another key for me. Eliminate if. There doesn't. The time for if is over. We need no more ifs. We need certainties. And I said something this week to Randy Mack when I was filling in on the week. There's a wide chasm between belief and certainty. We need to turn belief into certainty this week. You need to be sure with the pass rush. You need to be sure with your coverages, and Matt Ryan needs to be sure with his reads. They need to be sure with the run game. A long, long chasm between belief and certainty. You don't have that right now if you're the Falcons. You need that to win to get today against Chicago.
Man, I tell you, I look at it like this. Like, there's always room for improvement when it comes offensively. No question about that. You know, you look at the points that you were able to put up in the last couple of weeks, there are always things that you could do better. Like, you know, we talk about running the ball better, establish the run better, because, you know, primarily this is a passing team. But for me, you know, when you put up 39 points, and have no turnovers, mm-hmm. like that, you're supposed to win that game. Like
you're
like
right.
as an offensive, if I was an offensive player, as much as I love my defenders and everything, I'd be in the locker room looking at them sideways. But you can't do that because you never know any week in the NFL how fortunes change. It might be the defense does its job this week and offense sputters. That's how football goes. But I would be mad at the defense for going out there and laying that big old turd that they laid. Like, I would be upset. I really would be. I would hold it in, but I would definitely be in the locker room feeling some kind of way, especially playing defense. Because when you play defense, man, there's a certain pride that go along with that. And I hear what you're saying about the offense leaving points on the board. I get that. But before they left the points on the board, you were spotted, like, what, 25 points or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Before you start giving up the ghost? Come on, man.
Right.
Can't do that, man. Can't do that. Can't wait for it.
Wait for it, Tailgate Show. Keys to a Falcons victory here with Willie P and Hugh Douglas on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I never like when you see the term play like a desperate team, because my biggest fear when you say to play like a desperate team, I think a lot of times that leads to reckless decisions or reckless play calls or things that could possibly not work. So I feel like you need to play like a desperate team, but you can't have that desperation turn into recklessness. Does that make sense?
It does, but you're in a position now, Will, where, I mean, in the back of everybody's mind, as comfortable as one would might make it want to seem that you are, you're not comfortable.
Dude, you're right.
Do you know how, like we were talking about this after the game. Arthur Blank was out there on the field when all that debauchery went on with the onside kick and all that. He was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out and he said, you know, even though him and Coach Quinn weren't on the same page, but they agree on one thing, that, you know, they need to win. Like, they didn't agree on who was prepared and who wasn't. Dude, my biggest fear right now, I don't know what Mr. Blank is saying, but my biggest fear is the fact that he ain't said a whole lot. That's mm-hmm. my biggest fear, because, you know, you normally what that means, the wheels are turning, and they're probably looking for another option, a viable option at this point.
Well, I would say that, you know, and again, I'm not trying to read too much into what Arthur said on Sirius XM, but to me, that's the first crack in the relationship between the two, I think. Just based on the fact that he said what he said when he basically said, I didn't think the team knew the rules. Dan Quinn said on Dukes and Bell earlier this week that they did know the rules. It was just an execution issue. And I know, again, you're Mr. Big on execution, but I know from the standpoint of what I was looking at, I feel like there was some sort of breakdown there, whether it was mentally or something.
Everybody named Mama knew that they didn't know. Because anytime, like, listen, and you heard Arch and other people say that Mike Conte say that they thought they heard somebody say, you know, get back or whatever. Listen, if you knew what to do, then there's nothing that anybody could tell you in that moment mm-hmm. to sway you. You see what I'm saying?
Even if the ball was being kicked toward the Cowboys sideline and they were distracted again. I know, yes. They're professionals. They should be better than that. I understand.
Yeah, like listen, because I know for a fact, man, and like I've had many old teammate call me and tell me, dude, you're supposed to know what to do in that situation, because you go over those scenarios, man. You go over those scenarios till you're tired of hearing them, so that you know them in your sleep, so that you know them when you're tired. That's why you do it, man, because fatigue makes a coward out of everybody. So when you're not mentally there, then you know your body's supposed to know what to do in that situation, because it's been beat into your head.
Our colleague, different market but same company, Boomer Esiason, has a phrase that he uses called, he calls people who are like me, NARPs, non-athletic regular people. One of the things that NARPs say is that, you know, sometimes a loss is better than a win, because a win could mask a lot of ills. I feel like a lot of people have been saying that this week about the Falcons. The fact that they lost the game means that you can correct a lot of the ills. But you know as well as anybody, Hugh, that that's a load of hogwash, because when you think about what it took to get down to that point where the onside kick hurt them and eventually turned the game on its head, there was a lot of stuff that had to happen to get to that point, and a lot of that stuff needed to get corrected regardless of the result on Sunday.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I mean, you always try to find something positive in games like that, but there's nothing positive from that, man. I mean, you know, you look at him and say, hey, you know, we did this well, we did that well. But still, your defense gave up 40 points. 40 points. You gave up 40 points. And now you got another team coming in here this weekend with a quarterback that is not that great, but they think they have a chance. They think they have a chance to beat you. So, yeah, all that, you know, trying to find light at the end of the tunnel, I understand you have to do that. But you just have to you have to play Benny. You have to know the rules.
Of course, when you think about this game this week, they will be without three big members of the secondary. Will the Falcons? No A.J. Terrell, no Ricardo Allen, as well as no Kendall Sheffield, who hasn't played all season because of injury. How do you, with the personnel that they are tasked with having this week, make Mitchell Trubisky uncomfortable and turn him into the quarterback that we think he is, not the one he's been the first 2 weeks?
You know, without getting too technical, Will, pressure. I mean, you have to be creative in your pressure. You know, it comes down to that, man. A quarterback like him, you make him you put doubt in his mind early on. I can't see, but then again, I couldn't see the Dallas Cowboys and Dak coming back like that. But I can't see you having Mitchell Trubisky out there and him getting down like that, like you did against the Cowboys, and him being able to storm back and win you a game. Dude threw two picks last week. You know, his leading receiver last week only was like what? It was Dave Montgomery was your leading receiver. Three right. catches for 45 yards. I can't see – this offense is not that dynamic. Outside of, to me, Tariq Cohen, you know, and I think that he'll try – they will try their best to get him more involved in the passing game and in the running game. But I can't see Mitchell Trubisky going out there and doing what needs to be done with 18 for 28 and 190 yards total offense beating this team. If that mm-hmm. happens – then there's going to be a conversation that's going to be had Monday that's going to be a real uncomfortable one.
Keys to the game on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. Hugh Douglas here with you. Falcons and Bears, 1 o'clock. We'll have it for you here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You mentioned Gurley needs to be better. He needs to look more like the Gurley of old. I'm not going to say gimmicky, but do they need to do something where they put the ball in his hands in different ways as opposed to straight handoff? Like, I feel like maybe even getting him in open space, putting him in the slot, doing some wide receiver screen type stuff with him in the slot. I'm wondering if that might not be not too terrible option to at least give the defense another look, something else to think about, especially with all that pressure and all that getting upfield that the Bears defense likes to do.
That's not what he does, man. Todd Gurley is like he catches the ball out the backfield. But yeah. I need him to run the ball. I need to run him to run the ball to the backfield. Now, like basically what you're saying, Willie P, is you want Todd Gurley to be a part of the passing game. We know we can throw the ball.
Right.
We know we can do that. I mean, you know, we need to run the ball. And I think right. he needs to be the guy to run the ball between the tackles. That's just me personally. I hear what you're saying to get him involved, to get him comfortable, whatever. But I think in order to get a guy like that comfortable, he has to do what running backs do, and that's run between the tackles.
And again, we talk about this, you and I, a lot. You know, it takes a special group to run it on a rundown and know it, you know, when it comes to the scheme, have the defense know that the play is coming. And as an offense, you still are able to execute. The Falcons have not shown that ability in the first 2 weeks. When it's a rundown, you know it's a rundown. When you know it's a run play, and the defense seems to be wise to it. And so I'm trying to figure out ways to at least vary the look from the Falcons mm-hmm. to get some better execution, because what they've been doing hasn't worked, at least in the run game early on
yeah,
the first 2 weeks.
I think, and part of that, I'm not putting it all on Todd, but part of that is because Todd looks a little timid when he hits the hole.
You're very
not
right.
Not putting it all on him, though, but he looks a little timid when he hits the hole.
Steve Ewing, the president and CEO of Wade Ford, will join us next. He will give us his keys to victory. Falcons and Bears, 1 o'clock, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Falcons 0-2, Bears 2-0. We're trying to get our first win on the season. We'll see what Steve has to say coming up next. Willie P and Hugh Douglas here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Atlanta United play here.
Ajalbi into the box for Martinez. They score!
If it matters to a United fan, hear it first, even on the weekend.
Your weekend plays here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go, go, go! time to check in with the big boss man himself.
The man who knows all things cars and Falcons.
The president and CEO of Wade Ford, Steve Ewing.
On the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
White fake, Ryan on a bootleg. Now going to send it back here to the near side. Open is Hurst. And Hayden Hurst will walk into the end zone at the southwest end of the stadium for the Atlanta touchdown. My goodness.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P and Hugh Douglas here with you. It's that time of the week where we get a chance to check in with the man who knows everything cars and Falcons, the president and CEO of Wade Ford. Steve Ewing joins us on the aptly named WadeFord.com hotline. Good morning, Steve. Happy game day to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to Willie P. Good morning, Hugh Douglas. How are you, gentlemen, man? This is the bright side of the morning, man. It seems like I'm starting this show off. I've been listening to you guys, and quite frankly, the show has been great this morning. I think the best part about the show is that if you're listening to the show and you're a fan of this show, you get real talk, and you don't get you don't get somebody trying to paint a picture or just a rosy picture, because I'm not in a rosy picture mood. Matter of fact, hold on one second. Hey guys, just put the TV down on the ground. I'll replace it. You can put it up later. Hey, by the way, that's the TV I broke last week. I just want you to know.
Is that right? I can imagine. Steve, I was kind of wondering.
I had a big screen TV, and unfortunately Costco was out of it. I had to just get the TV, and I'm trying to get it put up. I don't normally break things, but I last week deserved a broken television.
Yeah, last week was rough.
I needed a new one, and I needed a good reason to give it, and they gave me a reason.
Yeah, last week was rough. No question about that.
Phew, hold on, guys. 40 points. Let me tell you how interesting. And you know, it's a Sunday morning, and I believe in God. And God, I guess, knows that He wants to hopefully not have me have a heart attack or stroke out. But I DVR all these games so I can watch them and look back at them later. And it's amazing what happened last week. As I DVR'd the game and I watched the game, but I went back to look at it. And just as the onside kick took place, my time ran out.
Oh no!
On the DVR.
You didn't do the extend.
So I actually got to see it live, but he's kept me from seeing that play over and over again. Which is how frustrating I am. I'm frustrated with where we are right now.
I've already seen it five times this morning, Steve, and I'm already done. I'm already over it right now.
I have been playing football. Listen, I highly respect people who make it to the professional football, the National Football League. Those are the best of the best athletes. I was never that good. But the little bit of football I played in high school and college, we always had drills and were trained on what to do with an onside kick. Mm-hmm. Now, the rules may have changed since the ancient days when I played, some of the 10-yard rules and these and that. But bottom line is, I knew how to play an onside kick. And there's certain things that you just can't do, and that's unacceptable. That was unacceptable. Okay, so from my standpoint, I want to ask you guys questions now because I'm just done. I'm so angry, so upset that we have put ourselves in a position on a season that looks so promising to now be in desperation mode. And Willie, you talked about that, desperation mode. And then, Hugh, you talked about a defense with pride and giving up 40 points to the Dallas Cowboys. And it appeared on paper and the way we performed in that game that we were the better team during that game. Everybody was smiling. I got a good friend of mine who's former head coach Mike Woodson of the Hawks. And mm-hmm. Mike is a Cowboy fan. And Mike told me he turned off the TV. He said, man, I'm disgusted. Next thing I know, he's called me back smiling and laughing. So I say all that to say to you guys, tell me, there is a 54.4% when I went online this morning, 54.4% probability that the Falcons will win this game today. I don't like those odds. So tell me what we need to do, because right now I'm just a fan sitting at home like a whole lot of other people listening to this radio station who have their own minds, their own disgust, who want to see different things change. and I'm not in a position to call Mr. Blank and tell him what to do. He's his team. I trust his judgment. But he's a performance-based individual. Everything in his life, he's performed. He's made things happen. And right now, this has got to be very difficult.
Not to make a truck analogy, Steve, but the gas pedal needs to go through. The gas pedal needs to be through the floor because they took their foot off the gas in the second half against Dallas. We saw things with that defense in the opening half. And again, I know personnel might have dictated a change and a more conservative approach, but that doesn't mean you go completely away from what you do. And I feel like that's what happened in the second half is they went away from what made them successful in the first half. They got pressure on the quarterback with blitzes, whether it was from the linebacking core or from the deep third. And in the second half, they played soft. And that allowed Dallas to get back into the football game. And you weren't dictating that pressure. You weren't dictating that situation with Dak Prescott. He was able to move the pocket and get better looks at receivers down the field. And I feel like, Hugh, and you can back me up on this, that's part of the reason why you gave up 30 points in the second half.
Yeah, I feel like some of that is the case, but I also feel that, you know, you talk about they took their foot off the gas pedal. I don't think that was what it was. I think that they got exposed because when they took them out of that blitz package, they couldn't get pressure. They couldn't do it. Like, you know, we talk about, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback and being able to get home and everything. They weren't able to do that. Grady Jarrett was out there working. But he was being double teamed, and like I said earlier, he has to learn how to slip those double teams, man, because he's going to probably get that for the rest of his career. Nobody's going to leave Grady Jarrett one-on-one to beat up your guard. That's not going to happen. So he needs to adjust and be able to, you know, fine-tune his game in that sense. I know that a lot of people are probably listening and saying, well, he's already a Pro Bowler. He can only do so much. That's just the case that it right now until somebody else steps up, that's the only thing that we have. Because Tax hurt, Dante Fowler's hurt, so he's the only guy. He's the only constant on that team. And I know it sounds like a lot to ask from him, but that's all we got right now.
And well, I will say, I listened to the coaches' show last week at the players' portion, and Grady was the guest, and he realizes what his role is. I realize, you know, they use that term next man up, and he realizes that, hey, listen, I'm going to be doubled. I'm going to be double teamed on most of the season. I have to do my job and do it the best of my ability. So I would concur. So as I go and look at keys to the victory today, the keys to the victory today, man, are us getting to find 11 guys that stay committed every play to do their jobs. We cannot sit back with the talent that's on this team and not turn around and turn today into a victory. I will make my prediction. The Falcons are going to win this game today. Okay, and I haven't said it, but this is what I'm saying. They will win this game today, and this will be a way to get this team the ship right. When I have these press conferences and I hear people looking and they look at the camera and they say, well, we just got to do. They're right. You can't, when you get knocked down, you got to get back up. And this is one of those times you got to get back up and you have to do what you can do, okay? And do what you know how to do and do what the Falcons can do. And I'm so I'm at a point, man, where, you know, I had my own little mini tailgate at my house last week and I was so excited all the way through the game, and then this happened. So today there'll be no tailgate for me as far as putting out the grill and hope it. I'm going to stay focused on one thing, and it's winning. And at the end of the day, I'm like many fans. This sets the whole tone for my whole week. You know, I go in on a Monday morning, man, after a Falcon loss, man. Let me find somebody late to work. Let me find somebody who is not doing their job. Because it reflects to me like, well, maybe I'm the coach. And am I going to accept somebody not doing their job at being for it? The answer is no.
Appreciate it, Steve. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, my man. Wade Ford, CEO Steve Ewan. Get a Wade Ford deal at the Smyrna dealership or online at wadeford.com. Final thoughts from you and me and our predictions coming next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.